Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
8:15, Eric Nisbet joins us now, professor of policy analysis and communications at Northwestern University. We've spoken with him before about political violence. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about what happened in Minnesota because, you know, I got a text from some people that were very conservative, and they were talking about blood on the hands, and I didn't understand the whole thing because it was a Democrat that shot a Democrat, not that that is inconsequential, but other people were texting me about this proves about guns. It seems as though when something like this happens, people already, before they even know the details, are already assigning blame to this one or that one or the other one.
Right. Well, I think part of it's unclear really what was the political orientation of the attacker. You know, in Minnesota, you don't register with a party. So he was not registered as Republican or Democrat, even though he had been appointed by Democratic governors to some state boards. But it also seems that he might be experiencing some mental illness, personal circumstances. So it's really unclear what the motivations were. He was an outspoken advocate against abortion, for example, it seems, appearing in the news. Mm-hmm. He had spent time in Africa. He had relayed some sermons against gay and trans lifestyles while in Africa. So it was unclear, really. Seemed to have like a heterodox sort of political orientation combined with some mental illness issues and personal circumstances. That's really hard to unpack, really, what motivated these attacks.
Well, the reason I brought up Democrat was that somebody said that Tim Walz had appointed him to some kind of housing board or something like that, and for whatever reason, they were blaming Tim Walz for this. Do you know anything about that?
Right. There was a lot of misinformation about the fact that he and Tim Walz and a previous Democratic governor had appointed him to the board. The likelihood that Tim Walz or the Democrat even know this person, you know, governors make a lot of appointments for whatever reason to various boards of one sort of another, often not even knowing who the person is. It's handled by staff. And so I think making a direct linkage to Tim Walz is really sort of false or misleading. You know, a lot of different people from different backgrounds serve on state boards, both Republican and Democrat, and can be appointed for various reasons. So,
I'm not defending Tim Walz or I'm not blaming Tim Walz. The only thing I don't understand, I couldn't understand how that had anything to do with anything, how a government appointee to an obscure housing board, seemingly an obscure housing board, how that in any way had anything to do with a nut job taking up a gun and assassinating people. Am I missing something?
Same thing. It was a lot of false misleading. I mean, this often, unfortunately, happens when motivations are unclear. There's a lack of information because it was emerging. I think the fact that it coincided with the No Kings, I saw online when I was we were monitoring the social media chatter about the protests on Saturday as part of a project, and we saw a lot of people were calling him the No Kings killer. for example, on the right, linking it to the No Kings protest. So I think there was a lot of, unfortunately, people were taking the opportunity to frame this sometimes as an attack against the Democrats or the left or the No Kings protest and linking it to them as a way to discredit.
Well, and that's what I was having a hard time understanding. And again, people can believe whatever they want, but I don't know how you blame Tim Walz for a guy that's got conservative viewpoints, because that would be anything but Tim Walz, right?
Right. And so I don't think if you look at this individual's history of comments and of behaviors and activities and say it's a clear-cut, you know, case of a Democrat attacking a Democrat, I think a lot of more information needs to emerge. It seems that he has a range of views, some of them that align possibly on some cases on the left and some cases on the right. And honestly, that's how, I mean, I think we overestimate often, we have a lot of polarization in this country, but there's a lot of people who I would call heterodox views. They have some views that clearly align with the right and some views that clearly align with the left. And I think it's hard sometimes to like pigeonhole people into one or the other. And, you know, in this case, it's unclear what these motivations were in attacking these elected officials.
Professor, you taught me a new word, heterodox. What does that mean?
Heterodox views means it's like you have a diverse range of views. You're not clearly left. You're not clearly right. You're not clearly aligned with one camp or another, right? You have views that go against both sides, right? It's a mix. So I think, you know, and there is actually a movement among some educators, politicians, to promote heterodoxy, right? Not to basically pigeonhole people as purely left or right or liberal or conservative, because most people have a range of views that might surprise people in terms of not necessarily agreeing 100% with Democrats, 100% with Republicans.
It just seems like, again, after any kind of shooting like this, you can go back and make it about whatever you want it to be, depending on what your cause is. You can make it about how did a nut job like this get a gun to begin with, right? You can make it about political speech. You can make it about anything you want. And now we don't really know what the hell happened other than he's in custody, correct?
Right. And that's the thing. Like when there's a lack of information, there wasn't a clear manifesto posted. There wasn't a clear announcement or understanding of the motivation of the attacks, why these people were targeted, or what this person's background was. It's still emerging. They're still investigating. And so that creates an opportunity for people, especially online, to fill in those gaps because people want to know. People have this need for cognitive closure. They want to know. They want to understand something. They want to make sense of something. And when you present sometimes very overly simplistic explanations, people latch onto those because that fills that gap, especially when there's an information vacuum. And so I think that's what's been happening the last few days.
Has the time frame shortened on that, where now people want to know immediately why and who and what and all that?
Sure. There is no patience, right? And I think also it's not only a time frame has happened in general. We have these like 24-hour news cycles where something happened 24 hours ago. It's old news. Even less, 12 hours, 6 hours, right? The other thing is, I think we do live in a more polarized country online. And so you have very polarized information sources on the left, on the right, influencers, news, person news, that basically will spin this to the most sort of partisan frame possible for their sort of political advantage. And then people latch on to these explanations because it aligns with their prior beliefs or partisanship. And so it's consistent information. And we like consistency, right? So we find an explanation that's consistent with our biases, we're going to latch on to it.
Yeah, I got to talk to you about influencers when we come back, because I don't get this at all. I don't understand what makes somebody an influencer other than they're either attractive or funny or something else, and they get people to follow them on TikTok. Then all of a sudden, what they say has some credence, or people put stock in what it is that they're pitching or saying or this or that. I don't understand that at all, but we'll drill down. We come back, 822, Traffic Now, WWL. 828, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Eric Nisbet, our friend, professor of policy analyst and communications at the prestigious Northwestern University, about the political shooting, I guess, over the weekend. I presume that's accurate to say, political professor?
It seems like it. It seems he had a list of politicians or elected officials. He targeted two elected officials. So it seems that it was a targeted attack.
But, you know, when it comes to influencers, and I mentioned that earlier, and your research with, you know, let me make an example. Back in the day, right, John Kennedy gets assassinated. Mm-hmm. Mark Lane comes out with a book, Rush to Judgment. It was the rage. But at least he had to do some research. He had to type a manuscript. Right. He had to go and get it published. He had to get it distributed, et cetera. Today, all you have to do is go on TikTok or any other social platform, and you can spew mm-hmm. whatever you want, right?
That's correct. I mean, what we've seen is sort of a bypassing of any traditional, like, media gatekeeping, any type of journalistic norms, right? Influencers do not try to abide by either organizational or journalistic norms. And, you know, there is sort of this populist sentiment in the United States that's grown, and that's not only towards politics, but also towards media and media trust, where people actually trust, if you look at some of the polling, people trust what they see on social media more than they see in mainstream journalism or mass media, right? And so it's become a huge resource for large segments of our population that gravitate towards social media and news influencers. And they see it as often news influencers providing context or explanations for the news. They basically, this has become their main source of how they understand what's going on in the world.
And the qualifications to be a, quote, influencer are?
None, really, other than building a community of people around you that trust you. I mean, the main way that influencers influence, like how they impact people's attitudes or opinions, is that people see them as trustworthy and credible. And so news influencers, through a variety of means, basically build up a community of people around them that identify with them, see them as a trustworthy, credible source for sort of explaining the day's events.
Do influencers, do they skew younger, more people, younger people are place value in what influencers have to say, or do they start with somebody saying what they want to hear?
I think, I mean, it's a combination of factors. I mean, if you look at, you know, when I teach my classes of college students, and if you look at younger people, none of them are Facebook. People are on these platforms that tend to be utilized by influencers. They're on Instagram. They're on TikTok. They're on X. They're on YouTube. And these influencers often do are more often partisan, are political in terms of being skewing left or right, at least in news influencers. Mm-hmm. And so people gravitate towards them that feel that they share their values, their beliefs, their politics, and trust them partly because of their shared partisanship and also identify with them. Unless then influencers use this sort of perceived trust and credibility and shared values to impact audiences and frame the news in ways that they see increases their engagement and influence. End of the day, influencers are out to make a buck, right? They don't do it purely. Some do it for politics, right? Some are political influencers or politicians or others. But, you know, news influencers are a commercial enterprise. And so the way they make money is by getting engagement, people sharing, liking, attending to and watching their content.
Professor,
and that's what they're out to do.
I appreciate your time. I'm going to beat my head against the wall. 8:32, time for WWL First News. 8:47, 13 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I got a mailer the other day from Second Harvest Food Bank, and I thought about having John Sillers on, Chief Strategy Officer for Second Harvest Food Bank. So we did, and with that, we welcome him in. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you, sir. Tell me what the situation is at Second Harvest Food Bank in New Orleans, and I know there was a problem with some donations and the church and the archdiocese and all that stuff. Where do you guys stand now?
Well, right now, what donors can be reassured is that every donation that they make will go to addressing food insecurity. You know, no money has gone towards any settlement. And so I can repeat that again. No money has gone to the Archdiocese to fund any settlement. So none of that has happened. At the same time, the USDA has started to ratchet back on their funding for food that they have been sending to us. Just to give you an idea as to how important the USDA is to Second Harvest, last year, the food that we distributed, about 40% of it came from the USDA. Since January, we have seen our deliveries of food drop off by about a third. From January to June in 2024, we got 321 truckloads. This year, we got 210 truckloads. That's a drop off of about 111. And we anticipate that that's going to continue. We see that having an annualized impact of about 4.5 million pounds every year.
Why is that? Why did the USDA stop sending you guys food?
Well, they didn't stop sending us food, but they've reduced the amount of food that they've sent us.
Cut back. Okay.
They've cut back. They've ratcheted it back. And we are not alone. It's affecting all of the Feeding America food banks. But I think it's due to just a policy change. There's a change in policy since January, and we're starting to feel it. We're getting fewer loads, which means that we are not able to send as much food to our partner pantries. I mean, we have a lot of trucks. Many of your listeners probably see a Second Harvest truck rolling down the street. When you look at that, I want your listeners to think that that truck is carrying less food in it than it was a year ago. And that's due to those USDA.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Reductions.
Is that part of DOGE? I'm just trying to figure out where they came from, or do you know?
I really don't know. This was happening. It started in January. Mm-hmm. The USDA had one of the things that they had done is they had set aside $1 billion back in October to fund programs for farmer purchase from local farmers, as well as shipments to food banks. And in March, the plan was to release that food and those monies for those farmer purchases in the spring. In March, we learned that $1 billion, they were not going to deploy that. And so that's part of the cutback.
So to be clear, no money from Second Harvest that has been donated has gone toward any settlement or anything else. Has the perception of that affected donations at all? John, how are donations?
Well, it did initially affect donations, but what we've been doing is we've been reassuring our donors that no money has gone towards any settlement. At the same time, the word is getting out that the USDA has had their policy changes. And at the end of the day, in South Louisiana, 1 in 6 people experience food insecurity. Among children, the number is 1 in 5, especially in the summertime. We feel a lot of pressure from the community to provide food support. You know, you have about 60% of all children in Louisiana get free and reduced lunch, and about 1 in 8 of them actually get a free and reduced lunch during the summertime through a summer feeding program. And so what that means is a lot of those families are turning to us for support.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. Talking to John Sillars, Chief Strategy Officer for Second Harvest Food Bank. We'll talk about what you need when we come back. And, look, John, I know a guy in your position, you don't look ahead to tomorrow, although you have to look ahead to tomorrow and next week, but you're looking months and years down the line. And I just want to know what you're seeing when you look months and years down the line. John Sillars, Chief Strategy Officer for Second Harvest Food Bank. We'll talk about that and volunteering and more when we come back. 852, 8 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:58, couple of minutes left with John Sillars, Chief Strategy Officer for Second Harvest Food Bank. John, I mentioned earlier that, you know, you got to not only worry about tomorrow and next week, you got to worry years down the line, months down the line, years down the line. What is your biggest concern moving forward, given what's going on with the cutbacks from USDA and so forth and your availability to help feed people?
Well, I mean, I was talking about supply, okay? And so we're seeing less supply coming from the USDA. At the same time, the demand for our services is increasing. We've seen our food insecurity numbers go up. Last year, there were about 407,000 people in South Louisiana experiencing food insecurity. Now it's more than 436,000. And so the numbers keep going up. So that's the challenge. That's the real challenge. And so what I'm trying to do is get the word out, tell people who are interested in addressing food insecurity that Second Harvest is the way to address food insecurity, because when you give money to us, what we are able to do is turn that money into food for a network of more than 500 partners throughout South Louisiana. And we have been investing in infrastructure to address food insecurity, not only here in the New Orleans area, but we recently opened up a warehouse in Lake Charles, and we are getting ready to have a grand opening for a warehouse in Houma-Thibodeau to address food insecurity, more effectively address food insecurity in those areas. You know, right now what we're doing is we had been sending a truck down to Houma-Thibodeau about twice a week to serve about 30 to 40 partners. But now, by having a warehouse down there, that truck is able to go out on a daily basis to address food insecurity.
Thank you, John. Y'all can go to no-hunger.org, no-hunger.org, or hyphen, no-hunger.org. Volunteer, donate, do whatever you can, because they are up against it. We'll take a break. Come back, WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.